Hello, Podwalkers, and welcome to another episode of the Goblin Lore Podcast. This is Taya, and we once again have the full complement of our goblins here tonight, and we're going to be doing a check-in with your host. We haven't done one in about a year. We're going to just see where everybody's at, talk about what's been going on in our lives. You know, part of our cast is talking about, you know, our mental health personally, and you know, part of it's to destigmatize talking about mental health, and part of it is just because, you know, we think it's important to, you know, have these conversations with, and it's part of what makes our cast different from everybody else's. And so, yeah, I'm Taya Transcends on Blue Sky. Pronouns are she, her, they, them. And I'm gonna open up the question for this week is, what are you doing to have fun other than playing Magic lately? And for me, I've been, not too surprising to other people who listen to the podcast, I've been enjoying the new season of anime that's just kicking off. You know, my favorite show, Reincarnated as a Slime, is getting a third season. We're a couple of episodes in right now, and I'm really enjoying it.
That one's real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that one is real. Checking. Okay, yep, that is real,
like,
Hobbs.
I just assumed that I think it's like a game at this point, that one of you all are just going to throw them in there and I have to double check. I have to.
Yeah.
Because I assume that you're messing with me.
No, that one's 100% real. And we've talked about this one several times.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So that's me. So Hobbs, why don't you take it next, since you've already been talking here?
Yeah, I'm Hobbs. Pronouns he, him. I can still be found everywhere on the internet, just about, at HobbsQ. I also want to say that this is very timely. I had not fully been thinking about this, even though I should. There's my nice language to start off the episode. We're like a week away from Mental Health Awareness Month, too.
So, yeah, you know, I hadn't even thought about that, Hob. This is really good timing, because it is almost May, and we have not discussed anything about what we're doing for Mental Health Awareness Month yet.
We have not. Can say there is a charity event that I'm working on with Beth and some other folk. So with Davey and Seth, DM Cross, who I've done events with previously. So there will be a charity event towards the end of the month. If people do want to save a date, May 18th and 19th, there are very little details beyond that. And as a cast, we haven't discussed what type of episodes we want to do this month. So, you know, I'm glad we're doing this today, because that gives us at least a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's a good time to check in.
So, yeah, my name is Hobbs Q, or my name's Hobbs, or Thomas, or whichever other name you want to use. And for me, lately, I've been doing two things. One, people that listen to this probably will not be shocked by, which is a lot of Lego. We are still in the midst of... We're actually playing with Lego now, though. My kids have started actually doing, like, imaginative play. So I built the giant treehouse I think I'd mentioned on the show, and it's turned into Universe Beyond. So you got, like, Batman scaling up part of it with Spider-Gwen hanging out on the top of the tree, and there's, like, a clone in the shower from Star Wars, and Luke's just hanging out on a swing, which he needs to do, because, man, that guy does not have good luck with a rest period. So we've been doing that. My wife and I are building the Batman the Animated Series, like, mural one. It is a ton of fun. Like, it is a lot of fun, and we've been building that together at night. But the other thing that we've been doing is gardening. And by that, I mean we're actually growing things from seeds, which is wild to me. We planted all of these seeds with just kind of a, you know what, we're just going to see what happens this year. We're late getting started. My wife for Christmas bought me, or set up, a grow room in our basement. We took tons of seeds, stuff that we collected from our own vegetables last year, or even that we, like, from our pumpkins or squash that we got from the farmer's market. We harvested the seeds and we just stuck them in dirt, basically. I mean, a little bit more to it than that, but for all intents and purposes, we stuck it in dirt. We made, like, these soil blocks out of it. Just like a block of soil, looks like a square cube. And water them and added some heat and plastic wrap, and they are exploding in our basement. Like, we really need Minnesota to get its act together, because we're getting to the point where we're going to need to move outdoors with it. It's just exciting. We love having fresh veggies, and just stuff that we grow ourselves is really a cool activity for me. I really like that idea of growing things and going through, like with the serrano plants last year, going all the way from growing them, eating peppers, harvesting the seeds, regrowing them is just a really, that's like probably the closest I get to spirituality. So yeah, that's a lot. Sorry.
That's super cool. And thank you for sharing that. As a person who has grown up in a city my entire life, it still blows my mind a little bit that, the seeds that are in plants are things you can then plant to make more plants.
Yes.
As opposed to going to the seed store to buy seeds at some corporation. Yeah.
Well, we did get some of those because we didn't have everything.
Yeah, but, and there's nothing wrong with that, but like that's where my brain goes. It doesn't go, well, I could buy a squash and then take those seeds and make more squashes. Like that, obviously, it's a thing that has been people have been doing since the invention of agriculture. That's what they did. That's what they invented, was putting those seeds back in the ground. But I'm so far removed from that time that my brain just doesn't even think about that. And I've been talking a long time. I'm Alex.
You
works.
Prompted me to think about the fact that part of this year has also felt very subversive, because in Minnesota, we have what some people call like a boulevard. It's the area between your sidewalk and where cars park. That's usually grass, and we're digging it up and taking it back. Like, we're reclaiming it. I felt very subversive, just like shoveling it and like killing grass with the shovel felt amazing. So that was all I was going to say. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I'm Alex, found on Twitter, still occasionally at @Mel_Chronicler. I'm not there every day doom scrolling, which is great, but I have not entirely removed myself from the ecosystem, which is less great. My pronouns are he, him. And to answer this question, I actually have a couple answers too, but I think I'm going to go, one of them will probably dovetail a little bit into our main topic. So I'll go with the anime one as well. Like Tay, I'm also watching, That Time I Was Reincarnated as a Slime. I really, really enjoyed
that
show.
One's a made up one.
No, that's,
well, that's one the full title.
I know. I was just kidding. Yeah. Sorry. Like,
no, the made up one that isn't the made up one is So I Was Reincarnated as a Vending Machine and Now I Wander the Dungeon. Like, that's a real show that I actually kind of want to get back to finish watching. It's bizarre, but it was fun. But also, like, for me, one of my favorite shows, like, I really like Reincarnated as a Slime. I'd put it near the top, but it's not in my top handful. One of my favorite shows, though, is Laid Back Camp, which is just a show about kids going camping. And it is so, like, relaxing and chill. And I love that show. And that also has a new season this season. I want to go back and rewatch another slice of life show that I love that I didn't think was ever going to get another season. It's called Sound Euphonium ! Which is just about a high school band. And it's been years since I watched that show. And a movie actually came out that I own on Blu-ray that I haven't watched. So it's like, that's when I want to go back and rewatch the whole thing before I watch the new season. But so I've been watching a lot more anime, which I kind of fell out of for a while.
Delicious in Dungeon?
No, that's on my list. Like, I got to get to Delicious in Dungeon. I finished
It's
Birdie
really
Wing
good.
This weekend, which was a show I watched most of 6 months ago. But it's a show about golfers, like these women who are golfing. There's a lot of really cool anime, but as of late, I've been watching a lot of these more slice of life ones just because I need that. That's sort of more cozy vibes. It's not necessarily cozy for all of these, but more sitcom-y to some degree, more just fluff, people doing enjoyable. Their normal stuff. It's just enjoyable stuff that doesn't have a lot of stakes. The world isn't at stake. You know, lives and kingdoms aren't at stake. What's up?
I need to share with you that today I saw a trailer for Tales of the Shire, which kind of like Animal Crossing meets The Hobbit.
Yes.
And it made me think of you.
I've heard of that. That's when I want to look more into. I will say, despite all of the things I just said, I also watched the Fallout show this weekend, and that was really good. And none
Fallout
of those
was
things.
So good. Fallout was amazing. I have no problem recommending that show.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And
I also want to recommend, if it's in limited release and it's touring the country, but The People's Joker is a fantastic movie. Highly recommend watching it if it comes to your area. If you like DC Universe, if you like queer stories, if you like satire and parody, it's just, it was fantastic. It was mind-blowing. It's just really, really cool.
Yep. So my other thing, which I will talk about now, we can get into it while it's relevant with our main topic, but I've been playing a lot of video games too. That's just a constant for me, but that one is, like I said, has been a constant. The anime actually is a fairly recent thing I've gone back to in the last couple of weeks, which is just, it's nice. Have a hobby that you're really into for a while, and then you put it down for various reasons, and then sometimes it's very nice just to get back to it and start to engage with some of those shows that I've been watching that, I don't know, this season just seems really stacked. A bunch of cool things have come back and got new seasons. Just an interesting dynamic for anime that I didn't realize, especially as a kid, like anime didn't come over in the 90s in a very easy to digest.
Oh, yeah, you could get like two episodes at a time on VHS for $25.
Yeah, and but now that you can get streaming where you're seeing, if you don't mind watching it with subtitles, you can watch the episode like the day it airs within hours of it airing or less. And even the dub is usually like a week, 2 weeks behind at most, I think, for a lot of the bigger shows.
About 3 weeks behind.
About three? Okay.
Yeah.
A few weeks, but like that's a far cry from what we've had before. But it's an interesting where it's different from like the American sitcom sort of culture that I was used to, where, and not all the sitcoms, but a lot of American primetime television, it ran until it was canceled and it was continuous and then it was done. Where a lot of anime will get one season a couple years later, get two seasons a couple years later, get another season. If they're not one of the big, there's a few big ones that are more continuous. Your One Piece has been running forever. But a lot of these shows that are smaller than that, which is almost everything, have this dynamic where they might run for a little bit, then you have a 2 year gap, and then the show comes back. And so it makes every new season really exciting, because not only can there be new things, but then there can be old things that you really liked that are coming back for a little while, which is a lot of fun. All right. Well, do you want to transition kind of into our main topic and talk about kind of where we're at and how things have been going?
Yes, I do.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah. So for me, it's been a rough six months. I don't know. How far back do I want to go? That takes us firmly into about September, October. Yeah, I mean, starting at the end, it's funny, I still think of things sometimes on school years, just because I work with a lot of trainees. But towards the end of June last year, I ran into kind of starting with the loss of my grandmother, followed pretty quickly on the heels by the loss of Sheldon, to kind of having just to deal with a lot of grief in ways that I wasn't expecting to. I mean, I guess that's one of those hard things to say. Like, I'm never expecting to have to grieve or expecting grief to go a certain way or there even being a correct way to grieve. But I just came up against kind of just a lot of questioning of, I think, my place in like magic community, my place within communities in general, my role as father. You know, I don't know how much I've talked about this on the show, but I've actually had a pretty close to a phobia, or if I've had a very strong fear of death since I was like in my childhood. And I mean, like 9, 10, I would have difficulty falling asleep as my brain tried to comprehend these ideas of either, well, the two things, right? Like either afterlife that was indefinite, and theoretically, you know, me thinking I was going to be a good person, thinking that would be heaven. And at the same time, that's just the concept of eternity was scary. But the flip side would be my brain trying to puzzle through what the concept of nothingness is. And I've always had trouble with that. And I think with the loss of my grandmother in particular, who was my last remaining relative, or grandparent, I should say, struck with this realization that I was very fortunate to have a grandmother into my 40s, my mid-40s, and recognizing that I've had kids a lot older in my life. So, you know, by the time my kids age, it's not clear that they will have that same sort of life or experience. You know, I still have young parents myself, but it made me just kind of start thinking about those things that, like, wow, by the time my dad was X number of age, I was already this. He sat all this time to do these things with me. Like, I may not be able to do that for my own kids. And I think that that did lead into a lot of where my just lower mood and just kind of questioning my role and my place in things has been, that just continued into winter in a way that I never really could feel like I was getting my feet underneath me. I could say too that work has just been very stressful. So I think that's one of the things that's hard, right? Like my day job is talking about mental health, and I like to talk about mental health in a way that I'm passionate about. And I haven't been doing that as much in my job just because of admin and bureaucracy and the fact that, you know, we're finding ways to implement hiring freezes while taking away funding from the closest thing we have to socialized medicine, which always makes sense to me because they don't want socialized medicine to look good. And we've been running up against that a lot more. There's been some articles that have come out recently about the fact that, you know, they're allowing more places like the VA to use community care, which they were using because wait times were long. However, what was happening was the wait then into community care was either longer or there's no oversight. There's no guarantee that the person you're seeing has been vetted really by anything other than they have the necessary degree, which is fine. Except, you know, we're used to a lot more, I think, within the VA in particular, pretty rigorous training and expectations that you need to show historically to work in the VA. And then that's now being used as evidence that we don't need more staff because we had to use community places. And so it just is finally hitting the point of where I'm 10 years into my career that I never wanted to leave or work at a different place, not getting to do the work I want to do, and it not being clear exactly what our role is going to be, while I'm also theoretically doing the job of at least an extra quarter to half person. So I've been very absent. You know, I think that's the one thing that I've been so blessed and thankful for. You know, I like to remind myself of this, and these are the exercises we do as a family, whether it's just daily gratitude or looking at the three good things that I've talked on here before, with the family at night, just going through three things that were good that happened during the course of the day and things we're looking forward to, those sorts of things. And a lot of times it's been the fact that I have two amazing co-hosts because, you know, there was just times we've had to miss recordings, which is one thing. We would have missed a lot more if I didn't have kind of the support of both Alex and Taya. And yeah, I think that when Taya suggested this episode, I was really excited by that in a way to talk about this openly because, you know, we've been kind of where I just don't always want to admit that things I think are as bad as they are, and or kind of where my head has been at times. You know, I'm pretty open about it online. I talk about it, but hearing it all at once sometimes to me can make it have a little bit more of an impact than I'm aware of. So, you know, like broadly speaking, that's it. I mean, I've taken on new coping stuff. We talked a little bit of the thing about Lego up top has become a mindfulness exercise for me because I was realizing at night it would just be kind of almost feel like mindless scroll until it was time to get into bed and watch something. And the Lego piece, even if we're just having something on in the background, we're watching some TV together, my wife and I, it is relaxed time. By me putting the phone down and maybe just playing with some Lego or building a kit, or, well, especially when we're building things like the Batman one together where we can work on it in stages, which is really nice, I'm much more likely to be really connecting again with just my senses, because that's the whole idea behind mindfulness, is being kind of open and aware. And ways to engage as many of your senses as you can, but engaging your senses has helped me feel a lot more grounded and made it where I felt like I didn't slip into, like, I guess the darker thoughts or the just the more unhealthy, unhelpful thoughts about just like hopelessness, because I don't think I've reached that. So that's been one thing that I know that I can say has been a huge, like, coping thing. And it's funny because it's just like with any hobby for me, it's like I go from not doing it to doing it a ton. But this has actually been a nice switch from doing that only really with magic when it comes to that style of hobby.
Yeah, you've had a lot going on, Hobbs, for sure. Definitely something I thought about when I proposed this episode is that you would have quite a bit to talk about. And, you know, I similarly had some thoughts on that too, that, you know, I've got some things I want to talk about, but
yeah,
you know, I think it's important that you kind of talk about the things you found, like Lego being a mindfulness thing and engaging your senses. Is that's, you know, that's really cool that you found that, and it is good for that. It's something you can, you know, work on and almost like a trance sort of state where you're just, you know, you're following the directions, you're searching through the piles, you're putting the pieces together and you're seeing what comes out of it.
And it's mind blowing. Yeah. I think about just playing with Lego free, and we do some of that. We have a ton of just bulk for playing for free, but even just where kits are versus when I was a kid and watching something come together. And then, you know, I think the biggest thing was for me, I, this is not, you know, it's that type of creativity. I think I've said this before, like, I can't draw. I art is not my really thing. Crafting in some ways is not my thing. I can take photos. I can see things. And I actually built a TARDIS using a set of instructions.
Yeah. But,
like, I had to deviate so much.
That was really cool. And you did that. That was awesome. Yeah. That wasn't a kit. You put that together on your own.
Yeah. So, like, it's been fun to do that. I also want to shout out the Goblin Lore Discord for just existing. That's been a place that when all of this and not sure what I want my relationship to be with, say, Twitter and social media, because I'm still on there quite a bit, but like changing my relationship with that, having our Discord is just amazing. You know, I come to it with this new excitement about Lego and people are going to be excited. We've had a lot of heartbreak and just some tough times there, and just people are jumping in to support each other.
Yeah, the Discord is really my biggest remaining connection to Magic, because that's where I experience all the previews now and get to see what cards are being spoiled now that I'm off of Twitter, because, you know, there is no Magic community on Blue Sky, really. There's, you know, I see a few cards occasionally, you know, when they, you know, one of the big trans accounts will retweet a specific card because of it being interesting or something. But otherwise, you know, I don't see anything. So the Discord is really where I interact with Magic a lot at this point. And it's, yeah. And then just all of our other conversations that we have, it's really a great place to be, you know. And it's one of the, you know, the handful of Discords that I'm active in every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Same
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. There are very few. I think I'm in one for gardening. Well, it's Hermit Druids who's like helping me, is a consultant for my garden. But people are posting their gardens there, which is kind of a cool thing too.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm in a few Discords, but really outside of the one for like my D&D group of friends that we use to coordinate stuff for D&D, like, this is the one with an actual like social network sort of thing that I use for that, like, more than anything else, any of the others. So I don't know, for myself, if you don't mind me kind of jumping in,
Taya, go ahead. Alex.
I think I similar conversation about hobbies in a different way, as I mentioned about video games. So I don't know, the last few months I've just been in a funk, and I tend to get seasonal depression during the winter. I think this winter, Minnesota weather, you know, with all the climate change and things, we didn't get terribly cold and icy, which has been a concern for me in the last few years. I've broken some bones on some ice, and that was a real issue last winter, where we had lots of snow and then melting and freezing, and none of that this last few months, but it just was cloudy and overcast in a lot more than we normally get. Like, I know Hobbs, you and I can't remember if we were on air or if we were just at some point when we were chatting, but I know we were waxing, you know, poetic, as older folks are wont to do, about the olden times back when Minnesota used to get like 20 below winters, but then at least it was so cold that there weren't any clouds and you'd have nice blue sky and sun. And I don't know, but so I've been playing a lot of games recently, a lot of video games. It is my oldest hobby. I remember my dad had a Nintendo Entertainment System, an NES, back when I was, it's one of my earliest memories is trying to play Dragon Warrior as, I don't know, a 3-year-old maybe, before I could read. And you can't play JRPGs like that if you can't read. At least I couldn't. I was bad at it, but my dad played a lot. And so I was just, I would play, he'd let me play some. But some of my earliest memories are video games. It's been a hobby that I got from my dad. It's gaming in general. I play D&D because he played D&D. We got into Magic together when I was 8, 9, when we first got into Magic. So like, I've done a lot of gaming with my dad over the years. So video games have just been a hobby for me for a long time. But the last, as I've got into other things like Magic, you know, you only have so much time in the day, you only have so much money. So I would kind of get out, especially like video games in particular. D&D competes with Magic for time, but a little bit less for money if you're going in as a group. You know, you don't have to buy, everybody doesn't have to buy every book. But with video games, especially the last couple of years, I've been doing more retro game collecting, just like apparently everyone else was since the COVID pandemic outbreak, at least. Initially, a lot of people were going back to old hobbies. I know Magic cards, old cards spiked and things too. But as much as I love these, I love it, and I think it's a good thing to have fun hobbies. I am worried because in the past, being a hobby, that can consume a lot of time. Video games have been an avoidance tool for me. I've used games to just unplug for periods of time and just let years go by without really experiencing them. And it's always a concern for me when I kind of get back into games as a primary hobby, as opposed to the background things. And so that's something I'm kind of, it's an actively evolving situation, if that makes any sense. It's something I'm trying to be more cognizant of, but I'm still worried about.
Yeah. I think of it when we've talked a lot on the show about intentionality and the difference for you when you are engaging with a game, even if it is still to maybe check out. I think about it was the unpacking one, right? That it is kind of a chill out thing, and you were engaged in it to a much higher degree.
Yes. Yeah, that is, if you're looking for a short but very sweet, cozy, you know, it's a game called Unpacking. It is literally all you are doing is unpacking boxes. It's this character's life through all the times that they moved from childhood through adulthood, unpacking all of their boxes into their new, you know, bedroom, into their new apartment, into their new house. And it's a very, I really engage with that game just because I think it's fun, but it was also super interesting from a storytelling standpoint. You basically never see this character. You never get any dialogue or voiceover from this character. You don't get any, you know, exposition about who they are. You just learn about them from their stuff and the things that they bring with them and the things that they don't bring with them from one move to the next. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, like Taya, I have not been playing a lot of Magic. Some in the last... Well,
I was thinking about the fact that your dad actually like returned to Magic, which is kind of a cool thing. Like
that is a cool thing. Yeah. Last year, my dad started playing Magic again. He sold his collection a while ago, unfortunately, and during Magic's one of Magic's downturns around the Time Spiral Block era. So he got a lot less than he would have more recently. But the Lord of the Rings set from the Universes Beyond Lord of the Rings set brought him back to Magic. Because, I mean, and in part because I'm playing and he knows Jeremy through D&D and Jeremy plays. So it's like, I think it's my friend Jeremy, who is our DM, but it's like, if he didn't know some people, he wouldn't have come back just for that. But because a few of us were playing and he loves Lord of the Rings, like that is one of my dad's favorite properties is Lord of the Rings. Those books, a lot of ways were big for him when he was growing up before he had things like D&D and other stuff like that. And so that was, it's been a lot of fun to get to not just play the game with him, but to kind of teach him, okay, this is a planeswalker. It looks very strange. This is how the card type works. And he's trying to wrap his head around that. And also, I talked to him about Commander as a format. Like he has said it completely unprompted to me. As soon as I explained it, it's like if Commander had existed back when he left, he probably wouldn't have stopped playing. Like that is perfect, like quintessential form of Magic that we would have played when I was a kid. Like we immediately, like the very first Magic I was playing was random 60 card decks, because that's literally what they sold. They didn't even have pre-cons at the time. You got random 60 cards.
Yeah, five colors with no land, you know, maybe get three lands of one color and two lands of another color.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And like we would sit down and play those decks in 4 or 5 person games immediately. Like I don't think I played head to head 1v1 Magic until I started playing FNM around the time the original Ravnica block came out. Like that was some of the first head to head Magic I'd played. And so like Commander is so perfect. And I talked to him about that over the years, and he was kind of like, oh, that sounds interesting, but nothing really pulled him in until he's like, I could have Gandalf. I could buy a sword.
Wait, whoa. Universe Beyond didn't keep him away?
Oh, yeah, it didn't, yeah.
Sorry.
No, I know. I know you're being facetious, a word my dad loves, so I'm using that in honor of him in this conversation as well. But it's, yeah, that's been a lot of fun. To get to introduce him to the game, or then help him try to hunt down some of the old cards that he likes. Or he does a lot of camping. He and my mom will meet up with my sister and her kids and husband, and like they'll do some camping at different campsites. And so then when they're near these little towns, my dad will go and like, oh, is there a card shop here? And so then he's telling me about this card shop with this couple who runs it in Virginia, Minnesota, that he loves and all this. And so it's been fun to see him kind of come back to the hobby.
Very cool. Yeah. When I used to travel for work, I would always, that's one thing I would do. And always I'd be hitting up these little towns in the South for my site visits. I'd always go hit up the local game stores when I was traveling, and I'd always enjoy doing that.
That's cool. So, that's about where I'm at. I guess, I don't know. We'll see this year with cons. I've been to a con already. There's some more I'd like to go to, and I'm still.
Yeah, I just found out I get to miss, not only am I missing Seattle Pride for my work trip, I'm also missing Command Fest Tacoma, so I get to miss, yeah, so my June work trip is basically gonna completely, everything seems to be coming in June this year, and that's when my work trip is.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, but that's all right. I get to go visit a partner on the East Coast, and then I get to go spend 12 days in Berlin and Prague. So, you know.
Okay, well, yeah. I no longer feel quite as bad as I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess, well, before I go off video games, even though I said I was done, I realized one thing that is sort of Magic related was a challenge I set to myself, because we have the Final Fantasy set coming next year. That I'm really looking forward to. I know, hey, you're big into this series and looking forward to that set too. I'm
definitely. You're doing your playthrough.
Yes. I've played. There was only a handful of games in the series I'd put a lot of time into. So this year I'm aiming to beat 10 Final Fantasy games. 1 through 6, 9, 13, 15, and 16 are the 10 that I hadn't put enough time into that I wanted to play them again. so that I, at least the non-MMOs, like I just ruled out 11 and 14. I'm like, I'm not playing the MMOs, but I have four of those 10 done so far. I finished 1, 2, 15 and 16, not really on purpose, like starting from both ends, but that's just kind of what happened. And I'm having a lot of fun with that. It's, I have not done a lot of JRPGs recently. In fact, right now I'm playing Final Fantasy X-2 as a treat. That was one on my list that I'd play a lot when it came out on the PS2 way back in the day. And then I realized I beat Final Fantasy XII a couple years ago, the Zodiac Age, the most recent like update for the Xbox One mm-hmm. PS4. That was the first JRPG I had finished since X-2. Like I started 12 on the PS2, and I was playing Persona 3 at the time. And then I started playing World of Warcraft, and then I played nothing else for 2 years and very little else for the next like five. And so then I finally finished FF12 many, many years later, it's like, oh yeah, like I really enjoyed these games, this series, this style of game. I just haven't played them in a long time. So it's been fun to go back to those. When I finish this playthrough, I'm already scoping things out, like, In the gaming community, big shocking thing for someone who's played as many games, as many RPGs as me, I've never played Chrono Trigger.
I've never played Chrono Trigger as well. Never played Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross.
See, what makes it weirder is Chrono Cross was one of my favorite games. I bought Chrono Cross when I got my PlayStation, and I was obsessed with that game. And then for some reason, never went back to play the first one that almost everyone prefers.
Yeah. So. I for some reason, I just never played either one of those and never went back to play them either when they were re-released.
Which is fair, but we'll see. With when I get through these Final Fantasies, I'm kind of trying to decide where to go. And that seems like a good place, having never played the first. And
does seem like a pretty good option.
So we'll see where I go there. But I'm looking forward to getting through these Final Fantasies. And then whenever we get those... whenever we get that set previewed, I'm looking forward to recording an episode with you, Taya, to talk about Final Fantasy and Magic crossing.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with a friend this weekend who doesn't play Magic, never has, not very interested, but kind of they do follow like what Wizards is doing as a company, and you know, I've heard about all the Universes Beyond stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, they've been targeting me hard between, you know,
Doctor Who,
Fallout, mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. and Final Fantasy next year. I mean, you know, outside of the story, I've had very little engagement with the mainstream Magic sets, but the Universes Beyond stuff has just had my number.
Yeah.
The only one that hasn't really been a targeted right at me is the Warhammer one. And I mean, Assassin's Creed isn't a home run for me either. I don't really care about Assassin's Creed. So that one, that's a miss for me, but I'm glad it exists for the people who like it. But they, for the most part, they have just been hitting home run after home run for targeting me on these Universes Beyond sets.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, I have a coworker who's big into Final Fantasy, plays, apparently Final Fantasy has their own card game that currently exists and is supported to some degree. He plays that. He's heard of Magic, but wasn't super interested. But then I was telling him that, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm kind of working on some of the games because there's this Magic crossover next year. He's like, when next year? And I'm like, well, I don't know yet, but we'll see. So that might actually get him to check out Magic because,
yeah,
it's like I said, it's... like my dad with Lord of the Rings, like it is actually, these things are getting people's attention who are interested in these properties.
Yeah. She said Doctor Who almost got her to buy a set, but it just, she couldn't justify spending it for something that would just sit on her shelf.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I can go. It's been a rough year for me, and I've talked about it a bit on the show, but I've been depressed a lot, and I think a lot of it comes from, I deal with chronic fatigue, where I'm tired pretty much all the time. I I'm in bed before 9 almost every night. I sleep until 8 or 9 in the morning. I feel like I'm sleeping half my life away because I literally am. And then I'm still tired all day. You know, I'm exhausted all the time. I've dealt with so many doctors over this. They've never given me an answer other than you're fat, lose weight, exercise more, which I've done. I've gone to a personal trainer for a year. It's done nothing. It hasn't helped. Doctors they're useless for fat people. They just, they think the answer is to lose weight. Is lose weight the answer for everything?
And then they stop looking.
Yeah. And then you stop looking for any other answer. And, you know, and then that's just kind of feeds into my depression because I feel like I can't do anything. I'm tired all the time. I don't want to do anything. You know, I get depressed and I don't want to do what I'm interested in. You know, I haven't been playing Magic. I haven't been engaging in Magic very much. I haven't been playing video games. You know, I don't think I've opened a video game since January at this point. And I haven't gotten, you know, just haven't felt like going to my desk and playing or anything. I just pretty much have been either sleeping or watching TV with my partner or partners or just doom scrolling. That's kind of all I've been doing for months, and it sucks and it's boring and I hate it. And that feels like all I have the energy to do, and it blows. And, you know, I've been treated with most kind of antidepressants there are. And at this point, you know, changing up an antidepressant again isn't really going to help when it doesn't treat the underlying symptom of I'm just tired all the time. And there's, you know, it feels like nobody's going to help me with that. And I'm kind of tired of dealing with it. And, you know, it's sucks being tired constantly and just not having an answer as to why, even though you sleep a lot or, you know, no matter how much you sleep, really. I can sleep, you know, 6 hours or I can sleep 12 hours. And it's kind of, well, if I sleep 6 hours, I'm pretty much falling over tired and just going to pass out and fall asleep again. But it's rough, and it just makes me not want to do anything. And it's kind of like, it's through the support of my partners and doing things I love, like this podcast, are the things that actually get me through my week. You know, I'm fortunate to have four partners that care for me and have, you know, my pets to take care of. And, you know, I have to do my job, so I have to force myself through that all the time because I'm the one who takes care of my family. So I have to make sure that I can be functional enough to keep my job. And that's really hard to do when all I want to do is go to sleep sometimes. So, yeah, it's been really rough. And, you know, I just do this every day, and sometimes I don't know how I do it, but I manage. And I just try to, you know, enjoy things when I can. You know, getting out to play Magic with friends once in a while, or going to a movie. Like, you know, I said earlier, I mentioned the People's Joker. I went and saw that with a friend on Sunday. It was fantastic. And, you know, Saturday I spent with two of my partners, and it's just those things are the things that keep me going, because otherwise I would just be sleeping.
That sleep and not feeling rested is something that when my depression is at my worst, that's how I can, that's usually the first sign. My sleep gets fucked up, and I also then don't, you know, I just want to sleep all the time and take naps and do these things. And then I do that and don't feel any better at the end of it.
Right. And I feel like that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was before I got my CPAP a couple of years ago. It was really bad. It got really bad for me. And so that really sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just kind of tired of dealing with the whole medical industry over it. And yeah, I think it got worse after getting COVID, but can't really prove that one way or another. But it definitely feels like I'm going to bed even earlier than I used to. It's like I don't know, it could just be getting older too, but I have trouble doing anything. It's like I see all my Facebook friends like going out to clubs and stuff like that on Friday and Saturday nights, and I'm just like, yeah, they're just getting ready to go out, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just getting ready to go to sleep.
We need to get you a different comparison group, maybe, because that's usually me on a Friday night, is ready to go to sleep. I'm like, can we just go to bed now? I'm good.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been dealing with this for a while, and it just kind of, the fatigue feeds into depression, which feeds into fatigue, and it's a hard cycle to deal with. And some days it feels like I'm barely keeping my head above water, just, you know, doing the minimum and going to work and spending time with my family. And that's about all I can handle. But, you know, what I am thankful for, though, is that, you know, there is, you know, like you said earlier, you mentioned the Discord. It's a great community there. You know, I'm in a couple of other community Discords that have been really supportive, mostly, you know, friend group Discords that have all started, that have either started around friends, D&D groups that have expanded out and become a little bit more open local friend groups, or friends polycule Discords that have opened up to be more open. It's kind of funny how, you know, even like these small polycule Discords eventually become like a local community Discord, and, you know, have a larger community supported around them, which I always find interesting. It's, you know, the queer community is very supportive of itself in a lot of ways when there isn't a discourse going on and they're tearing themselves down, which unfortunately happens a fair amount too.
Yeah. And our podcast Discord is open. There's a handful of Patreonic channels, but there's not a lot of activity in there. A lot of the activity, the community activity, is conversation in the channels that are open to the public. If people are looking for a little community, like kind of the vibe we have with the hosts here on the podcast, that is a place that you can come join if you'd like.
Yeah, I think we just noted that, like, prior to a couple of weeks ago, the last post in the Patreon only channel was a year ago. So definitely, yeah.
I was gonna say the post was me being like, "Oh wait, this channel still exists."
Yes.
I thought I was responding to something that one of the people in Discord had said like recently.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, most of our stuff is open to everybody. We release the episode a day early usually to Patreon members, but you know, you don't have to listen to my horrible voice a day early. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
See, I was gonna say which I don't think is true. However, it sounded good.
Yeah. No. I don't think we get a lot of fanfare.
I will say, actually, there are a couple of people that always respond in that channel when the episode is released early.
I mean,
with a degree of fanfare.
There's definitely some party emotes on most of these episodes.
That's true.
So, okay, I'll give you fanfare, Hobbs.
I was going to say.
You got it. All right.
It's a fanfare emote. We also have a Hobbs. We actually have Hobbs in That's Goblin right. wear emotes. So
yeah, emotes, plural.
Plural.
Yeah.
All from Vegas. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We keep it open for a reason.
If you like what we discussed this episode, come join the Discord. You know, you'll get more of this and a lovely community, a really close-knit community. It's not a super busy Discord.
Mm-mm. Feels manageable. We like
keeping it that way.
Yeah.
You know, there was actually a worry from some people that it was going to get busy after we did the panels last year. Thankfully,
did not.
Thankfully. Yeah. You know, I think everybody that came to the panels were already people that paid attention to us. So we did not have to worry about getting new fans because everybody that came already knew us.
And we're okay with this.
Yeah, we are okay with this.
Very
yeah.
okay with this. Because yeah. Alex still thinks that nobody listens.
Yeah. That's
not entirely true. I understand. I know people listen, but my brain is still
protective.
Protective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just every so often I remember that people listen. It's just.
Well, thank you all for sticking around. You know, this was. We like to do this kind of state of the cast thing every so often, and it did end up being very good timing, realizing that we are about a month out from Mental Health Awareness Month. And
you mean a week out?
About a week out.
Yeah, yeah. Week, month, whatever. Units of time.
Yeah, one unit of time.
One unit of time from now. We are also rapidly approaching our 6th year anniversary.
Yeah. Who knows? Goblins could count to 6.
Learning this fact myself right now.
Yeah.
To take off my slippers to count to 6.
I was just gonna, yeah.
I mean, I think that's why Goblin Grenade does 5 damage, because that's as far as I could count.
And that's our show for today. You can find all of the hosts on Twitter for now. Hobbs can be found at HobbsQ, Tay can be found at TayaTranscends, and Alex can be found at Mel_Chronicler. Feel free to send us any questions, comments, thoughts, hopes and dreams to the Goblin Lore Pod on Twitter, or email us at goblinlorepodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support your friendly neighborhood gobslugs, our link tree can be found on our Twitter account and in the description of today's show. This has everything from various discount codes to the link for our Patreon. The music for today's show was by Vintergotten, who can be found at vintergotten@bandcamp.com. The art was done by Steven Raphael, who can be found at Steve Raffle on Twitter. Goblin Lore is proud to be presented by Hipsters of the Coast as part of their growing Vorthos content. Check them out on Twitter at HipstersMTG or online at hipstersofthecoast.com. Thank you for listening. And remember, goblins, like snowflakes, are only dangerous in numbers.